children of Judah or the Israelites were evil. Not every one of them turned to idols and everything like this. There was several people there that stayed faithful to the Lord. And there, what he's talking about, there's going to be a remnant that comes out of the Babylonian captivity. And he's talking about them, that there's going to be comfort for them. He says, although Isaiah will speak again in threatening tones of accusation and judgment, there will be the song of comfort in hope. Now, if you look at the last part of verse 2, it says, for she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sin. And here he's talking about Judah. Now, the double here doesn't mean like you and I think about double. And basically what he's talking about is a balance. For the great many sins and adultery and turn away from God that Judah did, there's going to be a weighted balance on this side of the judgment that it's going to be against, the accusation, the judgment, and the punishment against them. So they're going to be balanced out. That's what he's talking about. It's not double her sin, but it's going to be talking about it's going to be a balance. Because of her sins, you're going to have this punishment. And this is what the Lord's talking about. And it's been this way, and he had told them beforehand what it's going to be. And, of course, as most people, you realize it, they didn't listen. And he continues on in verse 3. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Well, what he's talking about here, at the beginning, it says, God is coming back to Jerusalem. Not only God, but his people are coming back. As they're going to be in captivity for 50 years, which is 586 to 537 B.C., is which is they are going to be in captivity to the Babylonians. And he's talking about here, this, the voice of the crying, prepared the way for the, he says the way is going to be prepared. God is coming back to Jerusalem. He's left it. He's not there, but the remnant, his people, and God will be coming back. And he tells them about, basically, you know, there's going to be a deliverer from it, which is going to be Cyrus, I think what he's talking about here. It could be talking about Isaiah, but I think he's talking about deliverer. I think he's talking about Cyrus. And then, but he's, look at the verse 3. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert. Now, this is in the New Testament. Now, who does it refer to in the New Testament? Who? John the Baptist. And he's talking about here that John the Baptist is the forerunner, or it's going to be prepared the way for the Lord, or for the Messiah, for Jesus Christ. So that pulling that we've been talking about, Isaiah is quoted quite a bit in the New Testament. Probably, I think it is the number one Old Testament book that's quoted in the New Testament. And they're using this one here to prayer, to prepare or talk about how that the Lord is going to come, but John the Baptist is one going to prepare the way for the Messiah. Then continue on in verse 6, it says, the voice says, cry out. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its leavenous is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, because the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass, the grass withers, the flower fades. But the word of our God stands forever. Hey, basically, you know how the grass and flowers and things, they don't last. And that's why he's talking about it. This is man. The nature of man is like this. It's weak. It's perishable. Man doesn't live forever. And he talked about here that how the wind comes along. Well, the Lord can blow the desert or the wind off the desert or something like that. And that's how the men, our flesh, our people will fade away. We're not permanent here. Just like grass and the flowers don't stay around forever. Man's not going to be that way. But what will be here forever? What? The Word of God. That's what he's talking about. The Word of God, it says, but the Word of our God stands forever. Think about that. It was at the beginning, and it's going to be there, continues from now on for us. That's one thing that's not going to... This is one thing he's trying to, I think, in part of Isaiah, is to... Yeah, they're going to go through some hardships. They're going to be taken captivity. Even though it's 100 years from now, he said, look, prepare for the thing. It is coming. And that's what the Lord is telling them here. I am God. I can tell you what happens. And I can tell you, you can depend on the Word of God. And that's what he's going to be talking about the next two chapters here. Then he can continue on. The tide is going to be turned. He's going to talk or declare the tide, verses 9 through 11. O Zion, who brings good tidings? Get up into the high mountain of Jerusalem. You who bring good tidings, lift up your voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Says to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God shall come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arms, and carry them in his bosom, and gently lead those who are with him young. All right, he says, Jehovah has returned to Jerusalem. That's what he's talking about. Now he comes back. This is coming upon it. We, the people, are coming back, but God is the one that's coming back. That's what's important. Just the people coming back doesn't mean anything. But God with them is what makes it. And he says, that's for your reasons you should be telling. Tell all the cities of Judah. Let them know from the high mountain. Let them know that God is back in Jerusalem. And he talks about his arm, his power, and the strength of it and everything like that. However, he at the ends of it, he turns to a kind of a contrast here. The tenderness and compassion. He uses the shepherd tending his flock, how he gathers and he protects and provides for them. That's what God is going to be doing to the remnant. As a shepherd takes care of his flock, he's compassionate with them. He cares for them. He sees about them. God will take care of the remnant also. And he tells you, basically before, he says, I have the power to do it. And that's why he's trying to instruct them and to encourage these people, even though it's 100. What's so amazing to me about this, at least I think so, this has happened 100 years in advance. Or he's talked about it. But he talks about it like it's happening right now. I mean, you can count on God's word. That's what you say. Why am I telling you all this, children? To let you know who is taking care of you. Now, you think about this. Here's a God. Have you ever seen anything like it? Somebody can tell you what's going to happen 100 years from now. Actually, if you count captivity, it's going to be more than that. About 150 years. Over 150 years. What's going to happen? And this is what he's trying to encourage them about. He's letting them know what's going to happen, but you have to realize, look at the end. Those that are faithful to me, those that say true to me, I'm going to take care of them like you've seen a shepherd, how he takes care of his flock, his sheep. But we haven't, but they have. He says, I'm going to be like that shepherd. I will show my compassion. All right, now in verses 12 to 31, or towards the end of the, or at the end of the chapter, he's going to talk about his greatness. And the first part of it, verses 12 to 14, is Jehovah in creation. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, measured heaven with a span, and calculated the dust of the earth in a measure, weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance, Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord? As his counselor has taught him? With whom did he take counsel? And who instructed him and taught him in the path of justice? Who taught him knowledge and showed him the way of understanding? The prophet begins speaking to Jehovah about how great he is with his creation. Now you look at the earth, you think about it. I know people nowadays, society says it was from a Big Bang. No, you look at it. There's the Creator has some thought. You look at the earth, you think about it. And how long it's been here. You know it just didn't happen. There's a Creator. And you have to think the design of it. And He can tell you everything about the earth. Because He's a Creator. Now, who taught God this? About justice. Who taught God about wisdom? No one. You and I have to be instructed. And God is instructing us right now. That's what He's talking about. Do you understand to these people who I am? Now, it's the same talking for you and I today. This is the same God that we serve. Do you really realize how God is, how great He is? You ever think about all the wisdom, the knowledge, and everything? And you just think about the Bible. The greatest wisdom in the world is from Him. You've seen smart people, aren't they? Look at Stephen Hawking. Now, Stephen Hawking understands the use of the universe right now. But he's dead. He's gone. His body's in the grave. It's in the pit. God is forever and ever and ever. And He's telling these people, you know, this is the one you should count on. Now, Jehovah and the nations. Let's do a comparison now. We did with creation. Now let's look at comparing Jehovah with the nations. Behold, the nations are as a drop in a bucket. And are counted as the small dust on the scale. Look, He lifts up the isles as a very little thing. And leaven is not sufficient to burn, nor is beast sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before Him are as nothing, and they are counted by Him less than nothing and worthless. Think about the great nations that we've seen. Egypt. Well, we weren't back then, but we see about it. Babylon. The Roman Empire. Where are they? They're gone. And you just think about it. Who's the greatest nation on earth right now in the United States? Is he going to be here forever? No. Look at it. What is a nation compared to God? You take a 5-gallon bucket, put a drop in it. You put the strongest nation in the world, that's what that drop is. Nothing. What he's telling you. And you can take Lebanon, take all the wood, and Lebanon is known for its wood back there, and you can take all the animals that are there and pile out of the woods and sacrifice them, it will never be an adequate to be a burnt offering to God. Think about it. If you look for a burnt offering and you do it all, it will never be enough. He says, now nations have risen, they have exalted their glory, but where are they? But the Word of God is still here. Jehovah and the idols. All right. To whom then will you liken God? Or what likeness will you compare to Him? The workman molds an image. The goldsmith overspreads it with gold, and the silversmith casts silver chains. Whoever is too improvident for such a contribution, choose a tree that will not rot. He seeks for himself a skillful workman to prepare a carved image that will not tolerate. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundation of the earth? All right. Contest between the two, Jehovah and idols. You think about this. Here's an idol. Made out of wood. Made out of gold. Made out of silver. Where did they get the wood, gold, and silver from? They didn't make it. God made it. Nothing an idol has made. All the man can do is shape it. Make an image. But all that came from God. And you go, I'm going to prepare an idol to me? And he tells me at the end, he says, from the very beginning, I've had told you about idols. And you kept on going back to them, serving them, worshiping them. And what are they? Then he talks about, basically here in verse 20, those that cannot afford gold and silver, they'll find a piece of wood and shape it and worship that. How foolish are you people to compare an idol to me, to Jehovah, the creator of this world, the creator of everything, and you're comparing that to me. Now, are you understanding how great Jehovah is? There is no nation can come to him, and there's no idol that can compare to him. All right, Jehovah and the princess of earth. Let's do a comparison here. It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and his inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretch out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in. He brings the princess to nothing. He makes the judges of the earth useless. Scarcely shall they be planted. Scarcely shall they be sown. Scarcely shall they be their stock take root in the earth, and he will blow on them, and they will wither, and the world will take them away like stubble. To whom then will you liken me, or to whom shall I be equal, says the Holy One? God sits up above the circle or dome of the earth, and he looks down, and he sees us as grasshopper, or those that are dependent on him. You think of the greatest man that you know upon this earth now. Our time passed. But do you think about now? Those that are great, or you think are great, they're going to fall. There is nothing. And that's what he compares to. They can't, you know, even they make a firm stand in the ground and they're rooted in things. He says, I can have a strong wind come through and know this become like stubble. Go away. There is no being or creature in the universe with whom God can be compared. Nothing. Okay? Nations, idols, and princes or powerful people or whatever cannot compare to God. Now, why is he telling all these things to these people? Just think about that. Why is he telling this to these people right now? About Jehovah. About himself. Is he bragging? People just look how great I am? Is that what Jehovah says? Why do you need to know this? Why do they need to know this? And what has an owl done? What has a dumb block of wood done for you today? Go ahead, Pat.
Like prophets of Baal found out when Ahaz
He's telling us the only one you can count on is Jehovah. Let me just tell you. Can you count on me? No. Can you count on the United States? No. Can you count on Allah? No. Any great man can you count on? No. They're nothing. They're temporary. They won't last. But see, God is here forever. Forever. Understand that. God is forever. And if you want something to put your faith in and trust in, it's got to be Jehovah. You don't put it in man. You don't put it in nations. You don't put it in idols. You put your faith and trust into Jehovah. And he's telling you, I am telling you now what can happen 100 years from now. And when we get into chapter 41, see if an owl can do that. Let me go ahead and continue. All right. The reason I say that, here it comes to Jehovah and the assurance. That's what he's talking about. This is what you can count on. Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these things. Who brings out their hosts by number? He calls them by name. And by the greatness of his might and the strength of his power, not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel? My way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by my God. He's telling you now, you look up in the high sky, you see the stars, you see the hosts, you see everything, you see the universe. Look on the other side. God, he created everything. He knows every one of them. Why are stars out every night? He puts them out. He keeps them there. You look at from his side. He knows every one of them. Now, do you not think he knows you? This is what he's telling. Because he's telling at that last verse 27, he's telling the people when in captivity, says, in Babylon, the captives will charge Jehovah with being indifferent to their condition. But in the light of the divine greatness, power, and tender care of each of them, how can one say that? He said, you look at, just lift your eyes up, you can see. I take care of all this. And you don't think I can't take care of you? I cannot take care of you? Yes, I can. You can count on it. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. He says, have you not known? Have you not? Don't you know these things? Here's a summary of my greatness, basically. The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. Never weary. He understanding is so unsearchable. He gives power to the weak. And who have no might, he increases. When you're weak, he gives you the increase. And he makes a contrast here. For those that are youth, those that faint and be weary, that shall fall. But those that wait on the Lord, those that are mature, those that rely on him, they let the Lord lead. They follow the Lord. You can rely on, they get their strength from him. They are following the Lord. They let him lead. Youth, no. They run out and do it. But no, if you wait upon the Lord, let him take the charge. Let him lead. And you follow him. He said, I'll take care of you. You got some pray?
You know, I'm reminded of what Paul says in Romans 8 and verse 31. If God be for you, who can be against you?
Yeah.
And we as Christians should keep that in mind.
That's what he's telling them right here. And he tells them now in chapter 41. All right. Jehovah addresses the nation. Keep silence before me, O coastland, and let the people renew their strength. Let them come near, then let this be. Let us come near together for judgment. Who raised up one from the east? Who in righteousness called him to his feet? Who gave the nation before him and made him rule over king? Who gave them as the dust to his horse and driven stubble to his bow? Who pursued them and passed safely by the way that he had not gone with his feet? Who has performed and done it? Called the generations from the beginning. I, the Lord, am the first, and with the last I am he. I've been with every generation. And let me tell you, I am sending someone, and that's going to be Cyrus. And he's going to bring, let you come back home. But you have to understand, he's my servant. I'm doing this. This is the Lord. He says, I shall deliver you. He shall raise up from the east. Cyrus is Persian. It's east of Babylon. And so he says, that's how you know it's coming. You'll see it. All right. Dresses the nations again. The coastland saw it in fear. The end of the earth were afraid. They drew near and came. Everyone helped his neighbor and said to his brother, be of good courage. So the craftsman encouraged the goldsmith. He who smooths with the hammer inspired him with inspired him who strikes the anvil, saying, it is ready for the soldering. Then he fastened it with pegs that it might not talk. His speed, his power, the Medo-Persians now, they're coming. And that's what he's talking about. And he says, what is going to be their defense? You know what their defense is? Make bigger idols. That's all they can do. They think if we, our idols are not strong enough, if we would just make bigger idols, that will protect us from Cyrus. You have to understand, he's telling you, this is my servant. This is God taking charge. Now he addresses Israel. But you, Israel, are my servant. Jacob, whom I have chosen. The descendants of Abraham, my friend. You, whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called from his farthest region and said to you, you are my servant. I have chosen you and have not cast you away. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. Okay. What are you telling here? You're my people. But you, Israel, are my servant. You're mine. I know you. All about you. And he says, and his chosen nation, they are told to fear not, for I am with you. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you by my righteous hand. Now, why do they subside? It says here the last, I will uphold you by my righteous right hand. Why use the right hand? You know? Let me tell you. Huh? No. That's what everybody says. The Lord knows that us left-handed people can take care of ourselves, and he's going to take care of the right-handed people. Yeah. Yeah. Power. It's right. But this is my interpretation. It's left-handed people can do it. I know. Huh? There's a few of us good people here. Behold. Let's see. All those who were incensed against you shall be ashamed and disgraced. They shall be as nothing. And those who strive with you shall perish. You shall seek them and not find them. Those who contend with you, those who war against you, shall be as nothing, as non-existing thing. For I, the Lord your God, will hold your, see, hold your right hand. He's got to hold you. Stay to you. Say to you, fear not. I will help you. Fear not, you worm. Worm just means lowless or helpless. Fear not, you worm Jacob, you men of Israel. I will help you, says the Lord, and your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Do you know what a Redeemer was back then? If you were the next of kin, you were classified the Redeemer. You were supposed to, if somebody killed you, you were supposed to get revenge. If somebody's hurt you, you're supposed to take care of that. And that's why he's talking about, I am the Redeemer. They understood that. That means he will take care of you. And that's what I will do. And I will take care of you. That's what he's emphasizing to them again here throughout this one and 40 and 41. These are good lessons for the people that are going to be taken captivity, that when it does happen, put your faith and the trust in the Lord. Now, how does that go for you and I? We're going to have hard times. We're going to have trials. We're going to have punishments. Put your faith and trust in the Lord. And that's the source we get. Thank you.